We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Six Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball. By fans, for fans. Go Magic. What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Six Man Show. It is January 24th, 2022. Orlando, baby. We here. Luke, how we feeling? This is like, compared to the way that we opened the last podcast, this is like the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is good. If every time that there was a game on the day that we record, Jonathan, if it could just go like this, that'd be great. Every time. A win led by the young guys. And I mean, I guess, are we classifying Mo Wagner as like one of the young guys? Or is he just kind of...
that's fair.
I guess.
He's like borderline NBA player. So to me, it counts. He's what, 23, 24 years old, Mo Wagner?
Let's see.
I'm pulling it up right now. Yeah, 24 years old. He'll be 25 in April. That's still young to me.
Yeah, so young guys. A win by young, but led by the young guys. No, not really much vet presence. For the most part there, and get the win against the Bulls team who...
there was no vet presence at all tonight.
Yeah.
So, no Terrence, no Gary Harris, no Rolo.
Yeah. I mean, if it could go like this the day if we were supposed to record every time, if we could just win every time we were supposed to record, I think that'd be... that'd make it easier on us. The mood is a little lighter. And there's just more people want to tune in and listen to this type of stuff. And I'm glad you guys are listening to this.
Yeah, real quick, some housekeeping stuff before we get into this week's episode. Want to give a shout-out to our patrons. Shout-out to Court Cousins, Drew Gooden, Armin, Keith Garcia, Zico, Carson Tulo, Nathan Lynn, Ellis, Jonathan Borges, Norm L., Magic Player History, Giulio Bailey. Thank you guys so much. If you guys are fans of the show and you want to financially support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow. Every little bit helps. Really, really appreciate you guys. All right, let's talk about the weekly state of the Orlando Magic. Your Orlando Magic went 1-3 on the week. They are currently 9-39 with a loss on Monday to the Portland Trailblazers, 98-88 in Orlando. On Wednesday, they lost to the Philadelphia 76ers on the road, 123-110. Friday night, we'll talk about this game a little bit, but I would really prefer not to go into that much detail. But we lost to the Los Angeles Lakers at home, 116-105, and then tonight when we were recording Sunday, we beat the Chicago Bulls 114-95. Again, 9-39 on the season. Magic have the worst record in the league, the worst record in the Eastern Conference. As of today, we're really going into Sunday's game, 28th in the league in offensive rating, 24th in defensive rating, and they are 29th in overall net rating. But Luke, we are starting to creep up a little bit in terms of, you know, the defensive rating. The team is seemingly starting to improve in that area. I think a lot of that has to do with Jalen Suggs coming back. Just to pull this up here, over the last 10 games in terms of defensive rating, the Magic are, let's see, 11th in the league in defensive rating over the last 10 games, 108.5 points per 100 possessions. So improving on that end, it's a, something that we kind of expected or hoped to be the strong suit of the Magic, but it has not been so far to start the season. Once we get guys like Markel, Jonathan Isaac, maybe Michael Carter-Williams, that really should improve. But you're just right outside the top 10 over the last 10 games. Hopefully the Magic can keep that up, Luke. So let's just dive right into tonight's game. That's what everyone, I'm sure, is excited about the win last night. For us, it's tonight. But yeah, no Terrence Ross tonight. You know, the sore right knee, he left in the middle of Friday's game against the Lakers. He left in the middle of Wednesday's game against the Philadelphia 76ers with right knee soreness. And then really earlier this afternoon, Sunday afternoon, the Magic announced that he would be out. Gary Harris would be out due to back spasms. So coming into this game, you know, freaking Grayson Allen, we'll talk about this kind of when we talk about the Lakers games, about these midair collisions. But Grayson Allen basically rips Alex Caruso out of midair the other night with the Bucks are playing the Bulls, breaks his wrist. He's going to be out like 6 to 8 weeks. So the Bulls were without Alex Caruso, without Zach LaVine, without Lonzo Ball, you know, three of their, you know, what, best five or six players there. But they will get no sympathy from us.
Mm-mm.
In terms of injuries. But
most injured team in the league right here, baby.
Yeah, by us. A long shot.
Nobody if can take that from us.
Like Man Games Lost, the website, he has a chart showing how many games each team has lost to injury. The Magic are the bottom right. They are literally off of the chart. It's not even close. So people want to, are you going to only beat us because we were hurt? Well, come on now.
We've been hurt all year.
We've been hurt all the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
But Luke, this game was a lot of fun. The Magic were up at the half. And then midway through the third quarter, as the Magic are, you know, kind of building the lead, they're up by 17 at one point. The Magic turned the ball over. DeMar DeRozan is running the opposite end. Mo Wagner comes up from behind him. You know, hard foul. It was a clear path foul, a little take foul, so he didn't get the free bucket. DeMar, he took, you know, some offense to that. Gets his free throws. The Bulls start to go on a little bit of a run. I think they cut the lead to like 10 or maybe 8. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, God, here we go. And then out of all people, it's Ignas Brazdeikis that hits a three, sparks an 8-0 run by the Magic. Again, they're up by double digits. And the Magic were pretty comfortably in the lead for the rest of the game. That is really the point of the game that felt the most dangerous to me.
Yep.
That whole, you know, 4 or 5 minute, kind of window there. But the Magic responded. Jalen Suggs, we'll talk about him, but he was great in the fourth quarter. Mo Wagner, Franz Wagner, they were both great tonight. And just a fun win, Luke. Like, to see the young guys is like, all right, they've got the lead at the half. We're going into the third quarter. The Bulls are going to go on the run. The Bulls go on the run with, like, they were pissed off. They had that added motivation. And this is very well, you know, a game earlier in the year that the team might have just crumbled and lost the lead and lost the game. But to immediately respond and respond the way that they did and go on almost a 20-point win. Again, it was all young guys. You know, we didn't have any veterans tonight. It just felt really good, Luke.
Yeah, and the first thing I have to bring attention to is in the team stats department, the turnovers. Magic have 14 turnovers, but they force 22. So the Bulls have 22 turnovers tonight. The Magic were everywhere. They were flying around. They were making the right reads defensively, getting in front of guys. Only guy they couldn't stay in front of tonight was DeMar DeRozan. And it was very clear that the game plan was let DeMar get his and just stop everybody else. And we can win this game. The Bulls have a few key guys out. And, you know, we can, no disrespect to, you know, Nikola Vucevic, but he went 4 of 19 tonight. 13 points, 13 rebounds. So for what it's worth, still had a double-double, but he was not having a good night. Mo Wagner played great defense in terms of as a big man tonight. Did well down low, altering shots, getting guys to miss, that sort of thing. Taking charges. I mean, it was just a team effort. I mean, this is the type of game you have to win. Like you said, like the first half of the game felt like it was the Wagner Dogs, right? Thought it was like the Wagner Bros that were you know, it was going to be their game. But it turns into the Jalen show in the fourth quarter, which, good Lord, that was ridiculous to have that many emphatic dunks in the fourth quarter. The passion that he played with was insane. And to top it all off, obviously had his pointing to his jersey, to Orlando on his jersey. I mean, it was really all you could ask for a team that does stink, for lack of a better term. Like, for a team that only had 8 wins coming into the game, for them to play the way that they did. They got to the paint, Jonathan. That was the other team stat that I wanted to point out. 60 points in the paint to Chicago's 34. They didn't need 3-point shooting tonight. They still outshot the Bulls tonight from 3, but had 12 threes made, but just relied on everything else in the paint. 60 points in the paint. I mean, when you have a deficit like that, a lot of times you'll be able to win that game.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Well, Jalen, I mean, you know, we'll talk more about him kind of at length, but 11 points in the fourth quarter, 3 of 4, all three of those made field goals were dunks. 5 of 5 from the floor, or from the free throw line, rather. 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, no turnovers for Jalen. Like, play the entire fourth quarter. Like, Mo and Franz got us to the fourth quarter and helped build that lead.
Oh, you meant in the fourth.
I'm sorry?
You meant in the fourth quarter. He had 0, right? Turnovers?
Yeah, in the fourth quarter. Yeah, I'm talking about strictly in the fourth quarter.
Still only had 1 the rest of the game, but yeah.
Yeah, what did he end the night with, like 8 assists?
7 assists and 1 turnover. So
that is a welcome sight from Jalen Suggs. And it is not hyperbole, it's not, you know, narrative, it's not hype to say that Jalen Suggs dominated the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like, the Magic coasted to a win. Like, this game was never close in the fourth quarter because of Jalen Suggs just attacking the, like, just because of Jalen Suggs attacking the rim. Really as simple as that. I mean, he had some, you know, great plays, 4 assists in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, you have the 3 dunks, and then, you know, you have him, you know, going to the line and making free throws. And, like, I want to just say thank you to whoever was sitting behind the Orlando Magic basket in the fourth quarter jawing to Jalen Suggs, because earlier in the fourth, he goes to the line, and you can see him jawing at some fan talking trash. And the DeMar poster, and then the other fast break dunk that he had, is just looking directly at this fan, like talking his ish. Mm-hmm. So thank you to that for motivating Jalen Suggs and allowing him to go off in the fourth quarter like that. And then you have, like, you know, Stacey King, on the Bulls broadcast, you know, like trolling, saying, oh, you know, these guys have only, you know, have 8 wins or whatever. Like, first of all, this is a kid who is, you know, face adversity this year, hasn't played as well as he has wanted to play, and just absolutely played incredible, especially in the fourth quarter. And don't be salty because, like, we are literally dunking on your heads, destroying your team, you know, 28 and 17. you should be ashamed that your team is losing to an 8-win team.
Yeah, don't and troll not, us not when only we're not only do the Magic only had at this at that point now 9 wins. Thanks, guys. Oh, at that point, not only did the Magic only have 8 wins, but also the worst team in the league at home, and they're just like you said, dunking all over you, talking and saying whatever they want, and feeling good about themselves. Like I said, this is all you could ask for from a team like this. I mean, Jalen, you know, 4 for 10 from the field, but those dunks in the fourth made up for any bit of struggle that he had shooting from the field coming into the fourth quarter. And I don't know if you want to talk about this now, Jonathan. Mo Bamba, 7 minutes, 4 fouls, just didn't see the court. Like, it was super weird, but at the same time, I mean, the Magic didn't need three-point shooting tonight. They needed guys that were going to get into the paint and going to make, you know, make baskets in the paint. That's very clearly what the game plan was. Mo Bamba simply just, like, wasn't needed tonight. And I know that's going to hurt a lot of people after his, you know, multiple three-pointers made the other night to hear me say this. But it's just the truth. Like, the Magic did not need Mo tonight, and the Magic won convincingly. So it is what it is, but I really think that is it. Like, the Mo's knew, like, the way this is going, we need to get attack the paint, get in the paint. You saw immediately when guys touched the ball tonight, they were driving to the paint. They were, besides maybe Dell, ain't nobody was given like a pump fake from three. It was just right to the basket every time. And the Bulls couldn't do anything with it. So at that point, I understand Mo playing 7 minutes, man. Is it surprising that he only played 7 minutes? Sure. But at the same time, it kind of goes to show you the game plan tonight and Mosley being able to coach on the fly here. Mo Bamba had 4 fouls, gave other guys a chance. You know, Mo Wagner starts lighting it up. And at that point, Mo Wagner's giving you everything you need up to that point there. And, you know, it is what it is. But it is, Mo just wasn't needed.
Well, so, I mean, I think we need to give Mo Wagner a lot of credit. You know,
yeah.
25 minutes, 23 points off the bench, 9 of 13 from the floor. Just played his butt off tonight. Franz Wagner as well, 18 points in 38 minutes, 7 of 14 from the floor. So we mentioned really on Wednesday that we were going to have this, you know, conversation about Mo Bamba because, you know, played so well, you know, the other night against the 76ers, 28 points in the first half, finishes the night with 32. And
fouls
then, yeah, and then like tonight, again, you know, 4 fouls in 7 minutes gives you, you know, 3 rebounds and also 2 turnovers in those 7 minutes. But, you know, we had people kind of like, you know, going off about how like that game against the Philadelphia 76ers just proved that, you know, Mo is, you know, a good player and the Magic need to re-sign him and they need to do all these things. And some people were even arguing that he was better than Wendell Carter, which was just like,
gross.
The most ridiculous thing in the world to me, a guy named like Stat Dude or something like that. And I was like, Stat Dude needs to go look at the stats. Like, it's not even close. You look at Wendell and Mo Bamba, and just the eye test tells you that Wendell Carter is, you know, the better overall player and the, you know, the more consistent player. And I don't want to say that I'm totally out on Mo Bamba as a player. I just don't like, I can't think of a way that this guy could get more of an opportunity here in Orlando to prove that he's worth re-signing or that he's going to be, you know, like a long-term starter in the league, that he can bring it every night. And really the only thing that Mo Bamba gives you is elite rim protection. And
yeah,
like, and that's when it's like a guard and he's like coming over right from the weak side.
Yeah, I was gonna add
it's not elite defense. Don't mistake me for that. I'm not saying he's an elite defender.
Yeah, yeah, it's not.
He's elite at finding shots that he can block.
Right,
I'll say that, and I would say that's probably more so his physical gifts more than like defensive instincts.
Right, and that's the biggest thing is that people want to look at his stats and say, Mo averages whatever it is over 2 blocks a game. He's a great defender. I wouldn't go that far. I don't think that's the case at all. If you watch these games, there's multiple times in a game where you can pinpoint where Bamba struggles when it's a guy of his like build that he is going up against and trying to defend against. He just happens to have super long arms. And don't get me wrong, his anticipation while blocking shots is great. It is awesome to have a guy like that, but at the same time, I don't think he has put it together defensively yet. I think he struggles a little bit there, obviously. I just wanted to show you, kind of, Jonathan, that Mo Bamba against the Bulls in the past, like as of just this year, as far back as I'll go, November 26th, Mo Bamba plays 23 minutes, has 4 points and 6 rebounds, shoots 33% from the field. January 3rd against the Bulls, which was a close game. Mo Bamba plays 23 minutes, 3 points, 7 rebounds, 20%, 1 of 5 from the field. So against the Bulls especially, he's not very effective. Now, my biggest thing with the other night, Jonathan, was, yes, it was incredible that he hit that many three-pointers. But he's not a good three-point shooter. Like, I don't want people to see that and be like, he can shoot threes. It seemed that way, maybe. But he had, it was just such an outlier performance for him to have that many threes. The Sixers were a step late on everything, closing out. Still is impressive to hit 7 of 8 threes, but a guy can get hot. And then for him 2 games later to play 7 minutes, because ultimately he's a liability. I think a lot of people in the organization know that. And that deadline's coming up quick, Jonathan. We're like 18 days out from the trade deadline. And I'm interested to see what happens. Do they just kind of hold Mo and do whatever they want and sometimes play him when the matchup's right? Maybe you just play him every time against Philly. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, foul trouble and all that kind of stuff. 6 the other night, 4 tonight, only 7 minutes. It's hard to ignore that there is an issue with him fouling and just knowing what to do on the floor.
Yeah, and I don't want to turn this into just like a gigantic like crap on Mo Bamba fest. Like I don't think that he is a bad player, but he's just not consistent enough, and that's been the issue, you know, his entire career.
Which
so
is a big
far.
Part of being good.
Yeah, and yeah, as the Kansas City Chiefs just score a touchdown with 1 minute left, they're gonna go up 4 off of this extra point. That is absolutely crazy. I can't believe that just happened. Keeping this game on out of the corner of my eye.
Everybody really listening to this is like, yeah, Jonathan, we know what already happened in this game.
Yeah, I'm really hoping the Bills are able to pull this out, but I freaking Tyreek Hill, unreal. But yeah, no, I'm not trying to make this into just like crap all over Mo Bamba. It just, we've said this for, you know, the better part, not 4 years, like the first year he's injured, but like the better part of 3 years now. He just, you know, is not consistent enough, and he's not consistent enough in his play. Not consistent enough in like his level of energy. I wouldn't say he's a lazy player, but he definitely, his energy kind of,
he's
like,
not consistent.
Sometimes it's really, really high, and sometimes it's just like the bare minimum. You know, I don't want to say he ever plays with like poor effort or poor energy, but in order for him to be a high level starter in this league, he needs to play with that motor 24/7. And it's just too hit or miss for me. It's like every other game or every third game, it seems like. And you can tell when he is engaged because he really is a different player. He's a different player defensively. He's a different player on the boards. Now, offensively, my biggest issue with Mo right now is he either gives you three-point shooting or he almost gives you nothing, because he, you know, doesn't really have many post moves. He doesn't have like a low enough center of gravity and the lower, you know, body strength to be able to back down anyone. We've seen him, you know, struggle to back down guards on, you know, a handful of occasions this season. So yep. If he's not hitting long twos or threes, he's just not giving you, you know, much, you know, offensively. Doesn't seem very interested in, you know, rolling to the rim and taking those lumps as he's, you know, running to the rim for lobs. So that was like the big thing for me. If Mo could evolve as, mm-hmm. you know, a pick and roll, you know, kind of just diving to the rim kind of guy, it's unguardable. He's just so big. Arms are so long. It would really make a big difference for Mo. And I'm not totally out on Mo as a player, but I do feel like we are trending in the direction that this is probably not going to be like Mo's, you know, long-term home, unfortunately. Yeah. I would love for him to turn it around and to prove me wrong and that not be the case, but that's just kind of you know, how I feel right now.
So last year, Jonathan, he plays 46 games. He starts 5. He plays 15.8 minutes a game. Everybody, including you and me, are practically throwing tantrums, wondering why Cliff isn't giving this guy a chance. I'm seeing it. Like,
oh,
as much
boy.
As
no,
as
a, don't I don't want to hear you turn into a Steve Clifford truther.
I'm not,
come on now.
Dude. Are you gonna tell me he was wrong?
Yes,
16
absolutely.
Minutes a game. Are you serious?
Absolutely,
he dude.
Absolutely
he has played
was.
36. He is showing exactly why.
And now he's proven. And now he's proven why he's not going to be a long-term option. But last year he wasn't even being given the chance.
Because they have practice, Jonathan. And in practice, Cliff wasn't. On, what do you mean that doesn't mean anything? That's how they decide who the starters are, who plays minutes, who actually contributes. Mo clearly wasn't consistent in practice either. Like, this guy is being given 27 and a half minutes a game and started 34 out of 36 games. And all he has done for you is shoot threes and block shots. That's
we
it.
We all knew that currently Ken Birch was the better player. No one was arguing that. It wasn't who was playing
we just
better
wanted,
in practice.
Right. We wanted
it was
him.
The fact that he needed NBA time and burn to see if he could develop and wasn't given the opportunity. It wasn't about who was the better player. We all knew that Ken was the better player. But now we have seen it. We've seen, 30 minutes a game, whatever he's played this year. And yeah, sure, now it's easy to look back and be like, oh, Clifford was right. But
he was.
If Mo wouldn't have got minutes underneath Mosley, we'd be saying the same thing. So it's easy to say that now.
Well, of course it is. But a lot of takes are like hindsight, right? A lot of things are like, oh, I was wrong. Like, I wasn't in the right last year about Mo. Like,
you were still in the right because he needed the time on the floor to prove
but a
whether
coach,
or not he had.
But a coach clearly saw Mo Bamba more than we did and decided he would. And I'm not saying the coach is always right, but I'm saying in hindsight right now, I'm seeing it. Who knows what Mo was like during practice? Maybe he wasn't engaging. Maybe he, like, we have no idea. And so we were excited because Mo's going to finally get the opportunity. And now that he has, I'm just saying I see that maybe Mo wasn't the best participant in whatever it was. I mean, Cliff probably saw he couldn't back down guys. Cliff saw he couldn't do these things that we see now. So I'm not saying that like I'm a Cliff truther. I'm saying looking back on last season, I'm completely seeing why Mo Bamba is who he is right now and why I'm sitting here saying as someone who wanted him to get minutes and play, I get it. And I see that Mo just like, I don't know what it is. I don't know who needs to work with him, what needs to click. But like his post moves, how does he not have post moves right now? I mean, it's his fourth season in the league. And I know a lot of people are like, oh man, but you know, he had COVID, he's had injuries, he's had a coach who was against him. It's like, yeah, he had things that were absolutely working against him, but he's now getting it. It's like, how are you who you are and how big you are? And you're not showing me anything in terms of inside. It's just like, I know you said you didn't want this to turn into a crap on Mo, but man, this is the conversation that was going to be had one way or the other. And against Philly, he had a great game and he shot the ball really well from three.
Yeah, a great half.
Yes. And then he fouled out and yada yada. So it sucks, man. I really wanted Mo to be great and I just, like you said, I don't know that Orlando is going to be the place that he finds a home. Hopefully he does, but it looks pretty bleak for Mo right now. I mean, you just kind of look at the high of against Philly and then to play only 7 minutes tonight, not even touch the court again. It was pretty crazy.
I think the truth lies like somewhere in the middle here because it's very clear that Clifford wasn't like excited about the prospect of developing young players. I think we can all agree with that. That's part of the reason that he quit, because he didn't want to go through a rebuild, didn't want to, deal with young players. But yeah, with Mo, to me, it's not so much the Bills just scored a touchdown, 13 seconds left. Let's go. Let's go. It's not so much the lack of post moves. Just as a center in the league, if you can't back people down, you need to be able to run to the rim for lobs. And the fact that he's failed to do either of those is just like, right now, he's shooting the ball better as of late. He's up to 35% on the year, which is league average. But it's just, he's for him to have that much value offensively, he's got to be like up in the 38 to 40% range for me from the three-point line to make it worth it that he doesn't give you anything else offensively. So, yeah, that's our crap on Mo Bamba Fest. 13 seconds left. The Bills are up three. The Bills might be going to the AFC Championship. I'm very excited for my couple of buddies of mine that are Bills fans. Guys, cheers to 2022 and resolutions you can actually keep. How about having clean and shiny balls all year round? Our sponsors at Manscaped are here to save your balls this year and make the ball drop into 2022 the cleanest and sexiest ever. Set your first New Year's resolution with good intentions and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code SIXTH, that's S-I-X-T-H, for 20% off plus free shipping.
And inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate nuts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2022 looks to be. A grooming routine isn't complete without applying Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver before showing off your 2022 self. These unique formulations take care of the smelliest part of your body and are a big boost to your confidence into the new year. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in their Shed Travel Bag and anti-chafing boxer briefs as free gifts to keep all your goodies stored comfortably.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code 6th at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code 6th, S-I-X-T-H. It's new year, no pubes in 2022 with Manscaped. But Luke, I don't want to spend too much time talking about the Lakers game, but I feel like we do have to talk about it. Friday night, producer Kevin's first game at the Amway, covering the game as a member of the media, so was really excited for him. But walking in, like, it was just so clear that we made a mistake going to this game. 90% Lakers fans, just purple and gold everywhere. Shaq was in attendance, which was really cool. Hedo Turkoglu was in attendance, which was really cool. Shaq gets, you know, put up on the video board, gets the standing ovation. Again, it's 90% Lakers fans. Mm-hmm. If this was a regular, you know, Wednesday night against the mm-hmm. Wizards, unfortunately, I don't think Shaq gets the same reception, although he should. And then Hedo Turkoglu was shown on the video board maybe a half hour later, and like 10 people stand up. So I turn to Kevin. I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, we're sitting up in the media load. She's like, mm-hmm. well, this is, you know, like kind of how you would expect it to be with like a bunch of casual fans here. And I'm like, no. I'm like, Shaq went to one Eastern Conference Finals. Hedo went to one Finals and two Eastern Conference Finals. Like, Hedo deserves some respect here that he, you know, didn't really get. But anyways, the Magic actually had, I believe it was an 8-point lead at the half. And then, mm-hmm. like, the Magic outscored 31-16 in the third quarter. 31-27 in the fourth. It became the LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony show. Jalen Suggs took a really scary fall. I think it was in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. Driving to the rim, tries to dunk. Talen Horton-Tucker like kind of blocks him, but like kind of follows through. And it was just like the whole arena audibly gasped. I screamed, oh no. And luckily he got up and then had one of the most ridiculous passes I've ever seen in a basketball game. Full court to Wendell Carter, which was amazing. But yeah, a lot of Lakers fans, Luke. You know, LeBron James, you know, crying, whatever. He's the greatest basketball player of all time. Can still be a crybaby. But yeah, wasn't it really that fun of a game to be at. But, you know, it's cool to witness, you know, LeBron James and Russell Westbrook. My God, that dude sucks. That dude is absolute buns right now. He had two of the absolute worst misses I've ever seen live in an NBA game the other night. Like, an 18-foot jumper where he hits the top of the backboard. You can't even believe that it happened.
And he still shot just under 50% on the night, which is insane. There, I watched a montage, Jonathan, of Westbrook misses the other day, and it was like so many elbow jumpers that he tried to bank in that just hit off the top of the backboard. I watched that montage, and I was like, this dude, not looking at the stats, I hadn't like looked at his percentages this year. I looked at like maybe some other things about him, but not his field goal percentage. And I was like, this dude has to be, after what I just watched, this dude must be shooting 35% or worse from the field. Jonathan, he's shooting from the field 43.3, which by no means is awesome, right? But the misses that he has are so bad. They are atrocious. And it's just like when he misses terribly. And then he's going to hit some shots. It is so weird. It is so strange. Like, he shot 8 of 17 the other night against the Magic. And like you said, had two awful misses. Like, you wouldn't think an NBA player could miss like that. Russell Westbrook does it and somehow manages to shoot over 40% from the field. It's an enigma. I don't understand it.
I am not trying to say that I'm anywhere near the basketball player that Russell Westbrook is, never will be. But I cannot, it's probably been like 15 years since I've missed a mid-range jumper that bad. Like, I've airballed a few, but like, to hit the top of the backboard from the left elbow is like just really, really crazy to see in an NBA game. It's like all-time terrible. Luke, anything else that you wanted to cover from this game in particular?
No, we've seen it a million times, right? The other team has good players. They might not be a good team right now. Other team has good players. Magic, no good players. The Magic have a lead at half or are close, and then they poop themselves in the third quarter. And then the better team with the better players takes over in the fourth quarter. Game over. I've seen it a million times this year, Jonathan. Yeah. And that was the Lakers game. Congratulations, guys. That's your recap.
Oh my gosh. I think this game is going to overtime. Butker is about to kick a field goal with 3 seconds left. How far is it? It's they're within range. They're on like their 30 or something like that.
Oh really?
I just want to shout. People that don't care about the NFL are like, what the hell is this episode like going on with all this football talk in the middle? But like this, you know, huge game. Like if the Chiefs lose, that meant Mahomes, Brady, Rodgers all left. All lost in the playoffs this season. I want to give a quick shout out to Chuma Okeke, who's caught a lot of flack. Last 10 games, he's shooting 38% from the 3-point line. Like, his shooting is much, much needed. 8.4 points. 4.9 rebound or 5.7 rebounds, 1.7 assists. So Chuma Okeke bouncing back a little bit, Luke. We've talked about Jaylen, a little bit here, but he's looked great, since coming back, from the injury. Last four games for Jalen Suggs here, he is averaging, 15.3 points per game, 40% from the floor. The three-point shooting, still not exactly there, 18%, almost 80% from the free throw line, averaging 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 3.3 turnovers, so 2-to-1 turnover ratio. Not incredible, but, it's starting to get there. It feels like Jalen Suggs is starting to figure some things out. Really just seems like he's got to get some more
confidence. Had a career high against the Lakers. So, I mean, he's looking good, man. I think that break that he had, as we talked about in the last episode, he looks like he really kind of got to look at everything and take like a bird's eye view and be like, this is where I need to get better. And I think he made the most of it, and he's really showing it right now. And I really can't wait to see everybody together healthy, meaning Isaac and Markel. I know it's something that we've said a million times, but it's all I can think about. When I see games like tonight where the Magic are just dominating the paint, playing really well defensively as they have been the last few games since Jaylen got back, it's going to be interesting to see what this team can do with, I think they've got like 34 games left in the season. I'm hoping that we can at least get 25 games at the least with J.I. and Markel, but we'll see.
So let's take the conversation there, and we'll kind of wrap up with this. So Jamal Mosley, missed a few games earlier in the week. He, and Nate Tibbetts were in the health and safety protocols. Jamal came back on Friday for the Lakers game. We talked about this, especially the Magic went on the 10-game losing streak. But just like the level of the morale of this team and how they've just kept fighting all year long, especially the last couple of weeks, have been talking about how, the games being closer lately, there haven't been, many blowouts, and they feel like they are like they're right there. They're getting really close. We can critique Jamal Mosley's, rotational decisions and, kind of his, in-game adjustments or lack of in-game adjustments all day. But where I really think you have to give Mosley his flowers is the fact that he has kept this team so even-keeled all season, not getting too high after wins. There haven't been many of those. Not getting too low after losses, and there's been a lot of those. He's just kept this team fighting. They play with energy and effort every single night. They are cheering and pulling for one another every single night. Tonight was a huge example of that, the big win against the Bulls. But we talk about this every single week, Luke. I know Magic fans are probably sick of it, not us talking about it, but just because we have to have the conversation in general. But Markel, and we had like a little scare, I guess, you know, Friday that, you know, Markel, or Saturday rather, that Markel might come back Sunday against Chicago. Stupid CBS Sports. I don't know what the hell they're doing with their injury reports, listing Markel as a game time decision, and the Markel, the Magic are listing him as out. Got everybody all kinds of confused. People, just rely on the official NBA injury report. Like, if you are ever in doubt, I'll give you guys the URL right now. It is the official.nba/nba-injury-report-2021-22-season/. That is the link. Or you can just Google official NBA injury report, and then they post it like every, you know, hour, you know, at the mid hour. So like 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, so on and so forth.
You think we'd be able to trust CBS, right?
You can't. Just you go can't. To the NBA official injury report.
They were doing that with Markel really like 2 months ago.
Do you remember that? We played Atlanta in the middle of November, and they had Michael Carter-Williams and Etuan Moore listed as game-time decisions. It's been 2 months since then, and they, you know, are still not back. So you literally cannot trust them. But, yeah, just shout-out to Mo, to Mo's. Luke, I wanted to ask you, do you feel like we are closer than further away from this team being somewhat competitive? I'm not talking about, like, playoffs. I'm not necessarily talking about, like, you know, competing for like Eastern Conference finals, anything like that, but just being like close to 500. Do you feel like this team is closer or further away, or is the organization closer or further away from that?
I think you're definitely closer to like being 500. I think that's like a small goal that would be a great one to have. Obviously, we would love to, if your team's 500, it means you got basically a 50-50 shot to win the game every night. I know that's not how it actually works, but that's the feeling that you probably get as a fan, is like, we can win any given game. It just matters, you know, it's a matter of if we'll be able to you know, do well and stay away from our weak points, yada, yada. But I think we're closer than further away to that point. As far as playoffs or play-in, I think you're not far from play-in. I think that, like, if you bring, like, if Markel and JR are back, you know, weeks ago, I think that maybe you're closer. But I will say, like, if Jalen Suggs continues to be who he has been since his return, we're definitely closer. I mean, Jonathan, now Suggs is almost shooting, he's shooting over 5 free throws a game, which, for those of you who aren't familiar, that's a good number. You want your, if you have a guy that can get to the rim and draw contact and get to the free throw line. I mean, what was it against the Lakers? Suggs had 10 free throws that he shot and he made 9 of them. Tonight against the Bulls, he has 8 free throws that he shoots and makes 7 of them. So Jalen Suggs and his ability to get to the rim right now is crucial to this team and the success that they have. They desperately need Jalen to take that next step offensively and continue to develop in that way. Because right now, I mean, I don't have full confidence that J.I. is going to be this offensive juggernaut. Markel's going to be great at orchestrating, but I don't think he's that offensive juggernaut. If Jalen Suggs can continue to improve and draw contact at the rim, and I mean, I would love for him to improve his three-point shot, but what he is doing right now as a rookie with, you know, in his time back and the growth that he has apparently shown, if it's for real, I think this team is closer, and I think that final, you know, the final pieces are getting healthy, and is Jalen Suggs for real in terms of kind of the advancements that he's made, and can, you know, and pairing him alongside Franz Wagner, and can Cole kind of get out of his slump? I think this team does have a bright future. I don't think that there's any way around it, Jonathan. I don't think that's a homer take at all. If they can keep this core together, manage the contracts well, it'd be incredible for this team.
So right now, last four games, Jalen has averaged 6 free throw attempts per game. Mm. If that was for the entire season, he'd be in the same company as LeBron James, Anthony Davis, De'Aaron Fox. Like, he'd be right around there.
Yeah.
So that is, like, you know, elite, like, per, you know, getting, like, free throw ability attempts, like,
to
getting
get
to the
contact
rim.
And get to
yeah,
the
like,
free
he'd
throw
be,
line.
Yeah. You know, in between, like, 15 and 20th in the league. So
yeah,
definitely not afraid of contact. And, you know, call me a homer, whatever. I think even for my mental health, I need to believe that we're closer than we are further away. But yeah, from like in terms of the play-in, like right now we are like 13 games out of the play-in, and that seems like a lot. But when you just think of, you know, how just decimated this team has been by injuries this year, and thinking that you're going to have a chance at, you know, a top three pick in your back pocket at the end of this year, this team comes back healthy and does get a little bit of lottery luck. I feel like next season this team is going to be closer than they are further away, because again, like, you know, the last couple of weeks they've been so competitive, you know, haven't gotten, you know, really blown out like we had kind of gotten accustomed to earlier in the season. And you get a guy like Jalen Suggs back, now the defense is, you know, on the uptick. Markel and J.I., we keep saying this, should be back eventually, hopefully. And then I think we're really going to get a better idea of what this team is going to look like. But Luke,
yeah,
let's go ahead and wrap it up. Take a look at what we've got next week. So right now we're 2 games into a 5-game homestand. Next game is going to be Wednesday. So the guys are off Monday. They'll practice Tuesday, and then they play Wednesday at home versus the Clippers, Friday at home versus the Pistons, and then Sunday at home versus the Mavericks. Look, I'm gonna go 1-2 on the week. I think we pick up that win Friday at home against the Pistons.
Against the Pistons, we had 4 games last week, right? I think I went 2-2. Magic had it felt like the Magic could have won that Lakers game. It was competitive until LeBron and Carmelo took over. Magic had a real chance of going 2-2.
Chiefs just won. Unreal.
So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say that they pick up the win against the Clippers. I think they use their momentum. I don't think it's going to be a hangover game off of a win for the Magic. I think the Magic need to capitalize desperately. So I really want Orlando to win that game against the Clippers. I'm going to say that they go 2-1. I'm going to say they beat the Clippers and the Pistons. A little 3-game win streak. Jonathan, could you believe it?
That would be incredible. It'd definitely be the first one of the year. And then, yeah, so we play, you know, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and then Tuesday, February 1st, we'll be at Chicago. So we'll see them again.
Yeah,
we'll see how that goes.
And I would, a few weeks ago, I'd have been like, maybe the Magic could put up something against the Mavericks, but the Mavericks have found their groove as of late. Right now, as we're recording this, they're up like 16 on the Grizzlies, and Luka has 37, 11, and 9. So I do not give the Magic much hope against the Mavericks, but I do have us going 2-1, having a 3-game win streak ultimately. That would be a lot of fun leading up to kind of the moment that we get our guys back. I would love to string together some wins at home. As the worst home team in the league, we desperately need it.
I definitely agree. Luke, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Last thing I'll say, NFL sudden death overtime blows. Both teams should get a chance to get the ball in overtime.
Yeah.
NFL playoff games should not be decided like this. I am gutted for my friends who are Bills fans.
And you
Patrick
knew.
Patrick Mahomes, wow.
You knew. I mean, this is a high... What's the score right now? What's the final score?
I think it was 42-36.
That many points are scored, you know it. In a luck of the draw, who gets the ball first. If the Bills got the ball first there, Jonathan, you can't convince me they don't win that game.
Yeah,
because it was just like whoever gets the ball.
The Chiefs were on the wrong end of it. You know, what was that? 3 years ago against the Patriots in the AFC Championship. You know, the Pats going to win a Super Bowl, and Patrick Mahomes probably gets a Super Bowl, you know, 1 year earlier
either team gets the ball, or you do like college does, and you just start on the other side of the field, whatever that is, 25, 30 yard line. And you just do a shootout until somebody doesn't score.
Yeah, but both teams get a chance to have the ball.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. In college, they need to do something
that's
like
the way
that.
It should be.
Something like that, or you know, you do it the same way they're doing it now, but you both get chances to score a touchdown. You get the chance to answer back. What game growing up, Jonathan, did you not ever get a chance to, you know, to match? So dumb.
Are the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl?
Feels like
they are.
Yeah.
Feels like they are, right?
Yeah.
Everyone Bill's all year long was like, oh, I don't know. Chiefs don't look that great. You know?
Start of the year, they had people scared, but then they rip off like whatever it was, 8 or 9, 10 straight, whatever it was. I don't even know.
Unreal,
dude.
I'm feeling for Bills fans right now. I am crushed. I texted my buddy, let's go, when the Bills, you know, went up with like 20 seconds left or whatever the heck it was.
I would love for the Bengals at this point to win. That would win be it great. All. Yeah. But I just don't know that's possible, and especially playing against the Chiefs or the Bills, they just really that's a tough draw. So, yep, that's all I got, Jonathan.
That's all we got. Sorry, Buffalo. For Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You guys are listening to the Six Man Show, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya. Thanks for listening to the Six Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. Please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It would really help us out a lot. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Six Man Show and like us on Facebook. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.